If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be opening up to Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the text is verses 16 through 18. Picking it up at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, and Pastor Mike, and Pastor Kevin. And welcome. Welcome, Living Hope Church. Welcome to those of you who are watching us online. Every week we tell you that we are grateful that you are here, and we are. We're grateful that you are joining with us in worship. And it is, as has been mentioned, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Sunday. And because we had just ended a sermon series in the letter that James wrote to the churches, and next week starts Advent, so we're going to be doing a sermon series on the 4 weeks of Advent. Today, I thought it would just make sense to preach a Thanksgiving message. So it makes sense to me. It's not a sermon series, it's 1 week. And I want to begin this Thanksgiving message by telling you a story. It's a story about a woman who had some friends that lived on a farm. And this woman went to visit those friends on the farm. And when she got there, she noticed something very unusual. She saw this pig hopping along in the backyard with a wooden leg. So she asked the farmer, "What happened to your pig?" And the farmer said, "Oh, you mean Betsy. Her name is Betsy. She's a wonderful pig. One night she oinked so loud when our house caught fire that she woke us all up and we got the fire truck from the town to come and save our house." And the woman said, "That is amazing." And the farmer said, "That's not it. That's not it. One day my youngest daughter fell in the pond and Betsy oinked so loud she got our attention and we saw our daughter in the pond. I jumped in and got her and saved her. There was no problem." And the lady said, "That's really, really something. But I still don't understand why your pig has a wooden leg." And the farmer said, "Well, ma'am, when you have a pig that special, you do not want to eat her all at once." Yeah. I think that farmer could learn a little bit about Thanksgiving. A little bit about what it means to really be thankful. And that does probably not mean to eat your pig, you know, one limb at a time because your pig is so special. Well, Kevin read for us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to read them again. Actually, it's the third time you've heard them this morning. I don't know if you picked it up, but Susan actually read this scripture before she prayed. She read the exact same scripture. So third time you've heard it today, and it reads as follows. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Did you pick that up? It is God's will for you, and for those of you watching online, it is God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Now, you notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, because that would be crazy, right? Because there's a lot of circumstances you and I face that are terrible. And you don't want to give thanks for terrible circumstances. But God says give thanks in all circumstances. In other words, with God's help, God's perspective, there's always going to be a reason to thank God, regardless of the circumstances in your life. Let me illustrate that by telling you another story about two school teachers. They used to work together every day, but they had one of them had left the school, and they hadn't seen each other for 10 years. And they finally meet each other at a convention. And so what they do is they want to catch each other up with what's been going on in their lives the last 10 years. So one teacher says to the other, "Hey, I got married 2 years ago." And her friend says, "Well, that's good." And the other one said, "Well, not really. My husband is twice as old as I am." "Oh, that's bad," her friend says. "Well, not really," the other one says, "because he's a millionaire several times over." "Oh, that's good," her friend replied. And she said, "Well, not really, because he turned out to be mean and he won't give me any money at all." "Oh, that's bad," her friend said. And she said, "Well, not really. He built us a million-dollar home." "Oh, that's good," her friend said. "Well, not really. Our home burnt down last month." "Oh, that's bad," her friend said. And she said, "Well, not really. He was in it when it burnt down." Okay, this is Thanksgiving week, and that lady, like our farmer friend, probably could learn a little bit about what it means to be thankful. And how do you know this is Thanksgiving week? One of the ways you can tell is this. You can see Christmas decorations going up everywhere. The house next door to us, where we used to live at 5 De Palma, it's the one right behind the church with the fence. The other night, I saw through the curtains in my bedroom upstairs, I saw all these like blue haze. I go, "What's this?" So I opened up my curtains, and they had done the front of the house with blue and white lights, and not just the house. They have reindeer, and they have, I don't know, carts. They have all kinds of animals and creatures in the yard, all lit up. It looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. I thought, okay, well, it must be Christmas season because all their Christmas lights are up. And it's not only them. Christmas lights you start seeing going up, you know, little by little, either in the stores or you see them in people's homes. Well, during this week, undoubtedly, with certainty, our president will give the annual Thanksgiving proclamation. The president does this every year. And then our very secular government that almost chokes every time it has to say the word God is suddenly going to project an air of piety, and they're going to encourage all of us to be thankful. Well, I thought I'd go back in history a little bit to 1623. In 1623, Governor Bradford went to the middle of town and he read this announcement. This is, now if you want to put this in context, it's 3 years after the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth. 3 years later, Governor Bradford stands in the middle of town and he reads this to all the people to hear. I'm going to read it just the way he wrote it. "To all ye pilgrims, in so much as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and vegetable gardens, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the day and time on Thursday, November 29th, the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings," end quote. Year three after the pilgrims landed, that was the dictate from Governor Bradford. You see, Thanksgiving is a very unusual holiday compared to the rest. And one of the reasons for that, Thanksgiving seems to combine God, government, and society. It is considered perfectly acceptable for everyone, regardless of religion, to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. And I don't know about you, but that concerns me. Now, you're probably thinking, what did you just say? I'll repeat it again. It is considered perfectly acceptable for everyone, regardless of religion, to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. And I just told you that concerns me. And you're probably thinking, what are you talking about? Let me tell you why. Because almost always, when something becomes universally accepted, it has been drastically watered down or changed from its original meaning. You want me to give you some examples of this? Christmas and Easter. I mean, is Christmas and Easter about Christ and his birth and his resurrection, or is it about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? I can tell you what it's about, really. It's about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. It's about a retail extravaganza. Christmas and Easter have become so watered down, in most places, they don't represent anything to do with why we celebrate them. Thanksgiving can easily become the same thing. You heard why we celebrate Thanksgiving from what I read from Governor Bradford. So today, I'm going to take an unusual approach. I have a two-part sermon, just 2 points. I want to give you 2 safeguards to help you keep Thanksgiving what Governor Bradford intended it to be. 2 things that you can do to keep Thanksgiving its original meaning. Just 2. So I'm going to make this very uncomplicated today. So that's all I'm going to ask you to remember is 2 points today. I think all of you have the ability to do that. Point number 1. Make sure you are thankful to the right somebody. If you're going to say thank you, that means you're saying thank you to somebody. Well, make sure it is the right somebody. Harriet Martineau, probably don't know her name, but she was a very famous devout atheist. And she was with her Christian friend one morning on her porch. And as she looked out from her porch, she saw the glories of a beautiful fall morning. She saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze. She saw the frost on the meadow. She saw the colored leaves gently flowing down to the ground. And she was filled with the beauty, and she burst forth these words. I am so thankful. I am so grateful for all of this. And her Christian friend turned to her and said, grateful to whom, my dear? It's a good question. That's a good question. And if you are grateful, if you're really thankful, the next question has to be, grateful to whom? Now, King David knew how to answer this question of thankfulness. If anyone had cause to lift his voice in thanksgiving to God, it was David. Remember who David was? David was the shepherd boy who became the hero of a nation. David was the hunted fugitive who became that nation's king. David was the sinner who God said was a man after my own heart. Is it any wonder that he begins the 103rd Psalm with these words of thanksgiving? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. So I'll say it again. When you decide to be thankful, be sure that like King David, you are thankful to the right somebody. Okay, let's spend a little more time on this next safeguard. The next safeguard for Thanksgiving is this. Make sure you are thankful to God for the right reasons. For the right reasons. If you were to drop a Thanksgiving list of the things that you're thankful for, what would you put on your list? Just think, what would I put on my list? I mean, I know some of the things that I would include on my list. One, I'd put on my list, I'm thankful for living in the United States. I've been to many places, and I'll tell you, even with all of our problems, I'm thankful for the privilege of being a citizen of the United States. Someone said this, quote, count your fingers and toes, and if your mind is sharp enough to count that high, then thank God that he gave you a mind. I'm thankful for my mind. I thank God for giving me a great wife. I thank him for giving me everything I need. Not everything I want. Believe me, there are lots of things I want that I don't have. That list is probably much longer than the things I need. There's a lot of things I want, but I can't have them. But everything I need, God has provided. He's met my needs. Now, I realize that your list, if you were to give a list, could go on and on and on, but I want to take a look at the list that David made. David made a list of things he was thankful for in Psalm 103. So I want to take a look at that list and think, what did he consider important? And he begins by thanking God for being a God who forgives our sins. Now, that's the very one. It's interesting when Mike was praying today. The very first thing when he said, we are thankful, he said, we are thankful, God, for our salvation and forgiveness of sins. Friends, David knew what was important. He didn't begin by thanking God that he was king. He didn't begin by thanking God that Israel had become the strongest nation in the world during his reign. No, he begins by thanking God for forgiving our sins. I suggest to you that that is the most precious gift any of you will ever receive. We will never receive a gift greater than our salvation, than the forgiveness of our sins. And God, through Jesus Christ, has provided a way for that to happen. That can be ours if we accept it. If we accept it. Then he says, God heals all my diseases. Now, I can tell you, David knew nothing about germs or infections. What did David know about germs or infections? Nothing. But David understood this. He understood that when the people of Israel obeyed God's law, they, for some reason, didn't seem to have plagues that laid waste to the nations around them. Can you imagine what would happen if COVID hit in David's time? Can you imagine what would have happened? Because there'd be no social distancing. There'd be no wearing of masks. There'd be no staying away from each other. It would spread like wildfire. There'd be no medicines. People would be dying all over the place. That's what happened in ancient times when diseases came around. People just were wiped out. They didn't understand it. They had no understanding of it at all. And the truth is, we may not be able to understand everything that's happening in our life either. But I am convinced, and I know with certainty, that God is still the great physician. And he knows the deepest needs of our lives. He knows our needs better than we know ourselves. And whether our need is physical, psychological, or spiritual, I know that God will always do what is best for us. I'm so thankful for that. Next, David says that God redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. Well, that's true. God did that for King David. But this was not a King David unique thing. God does that exact same thing for you and I today. And then he says in verse 5, he satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like an eagle. I think Paul helped us understand this best, this statement right here. When Paul says this, quote, we are wasting away on the outside, but on the inside, we are being renewed day by day. If you look at King David's list, his Thanksgiving list, it's easy for us to say, well, that's great for King David. But not everyone is sharing his joy. Not everyone is sharing his success. Not everyone is sharing his happiness at Thanksgiving. What about those who are suffering? Well, the truth is, even though bad things do happen to God's people, that's true, we can still praise God. Now, I could say that statement a lot stronger, that even though bad things happen to God's people, we are mandated, we are commanded to still praise God. If you read our prayer list on any given week at the church, if you were to read that prayer list for 3 or 4 months, let me tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find people anticipating surgery. You're going to find people themselves or friends or loved ones with terminal illnesses. You're going to find families struggling with relationships, people looking for employment, people with financial struggles. In fact, if the truth were to be known, almost everyone in this room and everyone watching online is suffering in one way or another. And if you're not suffering today, praise the Lord. But you will be tomorrow. Okay? That's a fact. Suffering is unavoidable. Jesus tells us, just because we are Christians, we will suffer. Forget all the other world's problems. You're going to suffer because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that is a certainty. It was Job who said this, every man is born to trouble, just as the sparks fly upward. See, even when bad things happen to God's people, we can still give praise and thanksgiving. And you may ask yourself, well, why? All right, well, I'm glad you asked. Because the great difference between God's people and all the rest is that God's people never, ever, ever suffer alone. Let me read a verse you're all very familiar with. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's what God tells us. When we go through trouble as Christians, even if you don't have one Christian friend come by your side, even if you don't have one neighbor knock on your door to check on you, and you're sitting in your house having a pity party, God says, you're not alone. God says, I am right here with you. I promised you that. And I don't break my promises. I'm right here. Seek me out. Of course, we're not the only ones hurting. I'm talking about Christians. We're not the only ones struggling. There are people who never darken the door of a church. They're hurting as well. There are people who will never lift their voice in praise to God or thanksgiving. They're hurting as well. The great difference is that when we hurt, God is there. God is there to help us through those difficult times. Back in verse 24 of the second chapter of Exodus, it says this. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Friends, you and I may forget the name of someone we met 5 minutes ago. It's possible. But the God of the universe, who has billions of people to be concerned about, never forgets anything. He heard the groanings of Israel, and he remembered the covenant he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what it says in the third chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them. Do you hear that? God hears. We may not think he hears. People of Israel probably questioned, where is our God? As they were in slavery to the Egyptians. And God said, no, I've heard. I've listened. I remember the promise I made you, and I'm coming to deliver you. God is saying, I hear every cry that comes from the lips of my people, every prayer from the depths of their heart. I'm concerned about their tears and their suffering, and I'm reaching down to rescue them. I think that's another great reason to be thankful. It's been my experience as a father and grandfather that when our children or our grandchildren are hurting, those are the times that we are most able to communicate our love and our concern for them. And the reason that for that is we can't stand to see our children or our grandchildren hurting. We can't. So what do? Well, if they're young enough and small enough, we scoop them up in our arms. That's what we do. That's what every grandparent does. That's what every parent does to a small child. If they're too big for that, maybe we go over and we give them a hug. And we try to communicate verbally our love to them. We want them to know, because they hurt, we hurt as well, and we want them to know that we love them. And we'll do everything we can do to take away the hurt. Every grandparent and every parent is wired that way. That's how God is with us. when we hurt, God hurts alongside us. And the good news about our God is God has the ability and the authority and the power to do whatever he wants to do as in his sovereignty to take care of that hurt. And sometimes God's prescription is not exactly what we like. Sometimes God's prescription we don't like. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that God knows best. And whatever God prescribes, we need to take. This morning, if you're here, or if you're watching online and you're going through a trial of life without the help of Jesus, then I want you to know you don't have to continue to do it alone. You don't. God sent his son into the world. The sacrifice is complete. It is done. It is finished. All you need to do is accept that sacrifice. All you need to do is ask Jesus to forgive you, to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into your life. He's always going to say yes. I want to read a story from a family on Thanksgiving. It says this. One Thanksgiving, a family was seated around their table looking at the annual holiday bird. From the oldest to the youngest, they were told to express their praise. When they came to the five-year-old in the family, he began by looking at the turkey and expressing thanks to the turkey, saying that although he had not tasted it, he knew that it would be good. And after that rather novel expression of thanksgiving, he began with a more predictable line of credits, thanking mom for cooking the turkey and his father for buying the turkey. But then he went way beyond that. He joined together a whole bunch of hidden multitude benefactors, linking them with the cause and effect. So he said, I thank you for the checker at the grocery store who checked out the turkey. I thank you for the grocery store people who put it on the shelf. I thank you for the farmer who made it fat. I thank you for the man who brought the feed to the farmer. I thank you for those who brought the turkey to the store. Using his Columbo-like mind, he traced the turkey all the way from its origins to his plate. Then, at the end, when he was all done with everything, he said to the family, did I leave anybody out? And his older brother, who was a little embarrassed by his younger brother's prayer, said, yeah, God. And without missing a beat, without being flustered at all, the five-year-old said, I was about to get to him. Friends, this Thanksgiving, don't wait to get to God last. Okay? Let's preserve the Thanksgiving for what it was intended to be. And that means God has to be first and prominent. Our thanks go to God first. You may be thankful for 100 other things. Praise the Lord for that. But I would dare challenge you, those 100 other things you're thankful for, they have their genesis in God. There's nothing good in us. Everything good in us is because of our Father. It has its genesis in God. So don't leave God as an afterthought this Thanksgiving. Yeah, be thankful, be grateful. Listen, that is a blessing. That's a blessing. Tell someone else that you are thankful for them, that you're grateful for them. This morning I received a card from Eric and Mary Beth. Beautiful card. And Mary, I'm guessing it's written by Mary Beth. No deference to you, Eric, at all. But it didn't sound like it was written by you. But she was gushy about how much she loves Linda and I and how much she appreciates that what we do and our love for God. I read that and I go, it felt really good. It made me feel good for a minute. You know, I said, oh, this is good. My wife hasn't read it yet. You can read it after the service, hon. You can feel good for a minute too. But it's okay to tell people that you're grateful for them and thank them. Of course. Of course. In fact, we should do that. But let's never forget that our thankfulness and our gratefulness need to be centered on the person who is in control and created everything and gave us our salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this time of year. when it is okay to be grateful and thankful. It is okay to tell people we care about them and we love them, because that's, it seems like, what people do. And I pray, God, as we, as those of us here who are your children, that we would keep our focus, as Governor Bradford declared, we would keep our focus on you and thanking you, God, for all of the ways you protect us, all of the ways you provide for us, Lord. And in doing so, God, I pray that others will see our thankfulness and our gratefulness directed towards you, and that they would consider also, maybe I need to do that as well. So may we be good witnesses, Father, as we give our praise and thanksgiving to you. So may all of us, God, I pray that all of us would have a blessed Thanksgiving. I realize things will be different this year. I pray for those watching online, God, that they would have a blessed Thanksgiving. Whoever they decide to spend it with, it doesn't matter whether it's 25 people all jammed into a house eating turkey, or whether it's 3 people or 2 people seated around a table being thankful. So bless us, God, I pray. Continue to transform us, God, I pray, more to look like Jesus Christ, so we would be more pliable to be used by you. Apply this message to our heart, I ask, God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.